Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning is the religious leaders challenging Jesus' authority according to Matthew's Gospel, the 21st chapter. With all the political posturing going on around the country right now, there's two words we hear a lot about on the news: power and authority. Power and authority often go together, but they are not the same thing. Power is the raw ability to direct people and affect change. Authority is having the legal and formal right to give orders, make decisions, and affect change. Those with power only have power by disempowering others. Power is a limited commodity. That means that power must be taken. Just because you have power doesn't mean that you have the authority to do something with it. On the other hand, authority is unlimited. Authority is given. And you can never exercise authority unless you are already under the authority of someone else. And those who humble themselves and rightly exercise authority given them will never need power. That's why we often hear of power struggles and never hear of authority struggles. In our gospel text this morning, the chief priests and the elders have authority. They've been given the authority to interpret and enforce God's law in the everyday religious activities of the Jewish people. But they desire more power, a power that blinds them to the truth of God's word as revealed in the writings of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. They reject John the Baptist's teaching and his baptism. They reject that John is pointing to God the Father in heaven when he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." They have no use for John's righteousness because they believe they are righteous within themselves. They neither need forgiveness nor the kingdom of heaven. So when they hear Jesus' teachings and witness his miracles, well, they don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe that John was pointing to Jesus as God. But when the crowds begin leaving the religious leaders and following Jesus, they seek to have him arrested, an attempt to protect and retain what power and position they held over the Jews. Now, our text takes place on the Tuesday of Holy Week. That's 2 days after Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. He rode into town to shouts of "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The next day, Jesus goes to the temple, as was his habit. It's the sacrificial center of Judaism. And upon entering the temple, he finds merchants selling animals, trading coins, anything and everything for those pilgrims coming into town for the coming Passover. They got to make an exchange so they can make their sacrifice. Seeing that the temple had been turned into an offensive place of commercialism, St. Matthew records that Jesus drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold the pigeons. You see, the temple leaders, they had control of all this commerce going on within the temple walls. Most likely, they made profit from it. And Jesus scatters them out. They lose power over the people. So the following day, when Jesus returns to the temple to teach, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" it is a trap. These guys have been looking for a reason to arrest Jesus, so they ask him a no-win question. Either way you answer, you lose. They figure if Jesus says he's doing these things by human authority, well, the chief priest can arrest him for subversion, that he is going against their authority. If he claims that he has divine authority, well, then they can arrest him for blasphemy, for claiming that he is God. Jesus loses either way. But as we discussed in Bible study downstairs earlier, it's the wrong question. They'd already witnessed Jesus' miracles. They've seen proof of his authority over all creation throughout his entire ministry. If they didn't believe his teaching and his word, all they had to do was look at his miracles. The deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, demons cast out, people raised from the dead. Now, by the way, these are not your everyday good works done by humans. These are the works that only God himself can do. And God does them. And the one whom God had authorized came into the world to do the works of God with his authorization to effect change. Jesus demonstrated his authority over all creation, doing those miracles that only God can do. And the kicker is the chief priests and the elders knew these things, but they still did not believe. They asked Jesus the questions, and two questions, and Jesus only asks them one in return. The baptism of John, where did it come from? Meaning, where did John's doctrine and his doctrine of his teaching of baptism come from? The religious leaders thought they had Jesus cornered, but they quickly find out the tables have been turned, and they are in the corner. There's no safe way for them to answer the question, and they knew it. If they admit John's teaching from baptism is from heaven, Jesus is going to say, well, why didn't you believe him? If they admit that John's teaching is from man, well, that's going to anger the crowds that saw John as a prophet, and they would lose what power they had over the people. One sin always leads to another and another, and their only option was to lie. They said, we do not know. Earlier, I said that those who humble themselves and rightly exercise authority never need power. The chief priests and the elders are not humble men. They are arrogant. They are power hungry. And they see Jesus as a threat to their status among the people. Therefore, they refuse to acknowledge Jesus as God's son. They refuse to acknowledge his authority given by God because it would force them to humble themselves under Jesus' authority. They lose power and control, and this is where our text really relates to you and me. You see, the sinful nature craves power. And the great power monger, the devil, is constantly preaching in your ear, showing you different places. There is where you can reach out and attempt to seize power. He paints such a rosy picture of what this power looks like that you're tempted to disempower your co-workers, your family members, your friends, all so you can feel better about yourself because that power puts you over them. You and I don't like humbling ourselves under someone else's authority because you like being in control. And when your control is threatened, you fight back. We know the children, they don't like honoring their father and mother. They don't like doing their chores and cleaning up after themselves. They would rather play games and watch TV. Wives, you despise your husbands. You despise the fact that you are to submit to your husband. And husbands, you despise the fact that you are supposed to love your wives as Christ loved the church. You despise giving yourself up to her. In all these cases, it's because the sinful nature dislikes humbling itself before others. We don't want to serve our neighbor. But it doesn't end just there. You are all members of good standing of Christ's church. Yet you and I despise humbling ourselves under the authority of God and His Word. The devil preaches to you and to this crooked and twisted generation that you should determine your own truth. It's your life. The other truth out there doesn't matter. Whatever you want to believe, that is yours. Take power of your own life. Take power of your own desires and passions. So, Christian, you say you believe in the inerrancy of God's Word. So do you denounce female pastors, same-sex marriage, sex outside of marriage, cohabitation? What about transgender surgery? What about abortion? And the list goes on. When these questions come up, someone says, well, is this right or is it not? Are you like the religious leaders and say, I don't know? Or out of embarrassment and being afraid of being shamed, do you just nod your head in agreement? You have been given the authority, dear Christian, to speak the truth of God's Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. You should be able to tell others that these things are sins, speaking the truth in love, telling others that these things are sins before God. But still many people will say, who am I to judge? But it's not you who are judging. God alone is judge, and His Word has spoken. His Word is inspired, it is inerrant, and it is authoritative. Society isn't allowed to reinvent the truth recorded in God's Word because God's Word is truth. That's why it's authoritative. But I know, people tell me all the time, but Pastor, they'll call me a bigot. They'll call me a homophobe. They'll call me non-inclusive. Well, those are okay. That's okay because they called Jesus many things. You're in good company. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. God is not some mean ogre sitting up in heaven, waiting on you to mess up so He can reach out and squash you like a bug on the floor. As we heard in our Old Testament text, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He does not take pleasure in the death of anyone. So turn and live. As I quoted St. Paul last week regarding your baptism, how can we who died to sin still live in it? So you and I must quit living like the pagan and unbelieving world. Ezekiel, God speaking through Ezekiel, says, repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest your iniquity be your ruin. Repent to God the Father. Repent because God the Father desires all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Before Jesus' ascension into heaven, He declared, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. In baptism, God marked you as His own. redeemed by Christ the crucified. He adopted you into his family, regenerated you into a new creation. Because of Jesus' work of salvation on your behalf, living a perfect life before God and suffering all of God's wrath for your sin, you are reconciled with the Father in heaven. And for the sake of Jesus, he forgives you all of your sins. And in baptism, you were given the gift of the Holy Spirit, empowering you, giving you authority, Christ's authority, so that you are free to speak the truth of God's word in love, speaking all that Christ has commanded and taught to your neighbor and to each other. You are free to shine as lights into the world in this crooked and twisted generation. By Christ's authority, he has given his church his word and sacraments, delivering forgiveness, life, and salvation. By his authority, he has given the church the ability to call pastors, to be his mouthpiece and under shepherds. Jesus says, "The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." He has given pastors the authority to forgive the sins of those who repent, withhold forgiveness of those who remain unrepentant, and given them the authority to administer his body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus has all authority, and he bids you to humble yourself before him, for he has given you his authority, dear Christian. The Lord lifts up the humble, and he bids you to hold fast to his word of life. When we consider God's holy word and its inerrancy and power, we would do to pray the sermon hymn that we just sang. Let us pray. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom from your Son and bring to naught all he has done. Lord Jesus Christ, your power make known, for you are Lord, if the Lord's alone. Defend your holy church that we may sing your praise eternally. O comforter of priceless worth, send peace and unity on earth. Support us in our final strife and lead us out of death to life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.